Friends, these words that we have just been singing have been used in praise in the midst of God's people for a long, long time. In fact, so long ago that we don't quite know their origin. We don't even know who originally wrote them. They were not written in English. They were written in Latin. And then, later, translated into English. And I'm always amazed at that process, because it's not just a matter of translating one language into another, but also doing it in poetic form, so that, as in this case, there is both rhythm in the cadence of this selection and a rhyme scheme to the selection as it was prepared. The translation was done by a man named Edward Caswell, who was born in 1814 and actually died the very same year this church building was opened, 1878. This hymn was first published in English, at least Caswell's translation of it, in 1854. Think about that. That's over 150 years ago. And it was used in its original form a long, long time before that. The music by Joseph Bamby was published in 1868. Caswell also translated some other hymns from Latin into English, and one of those that we're familiar with is the hymn, Jesus, the Very Thought of Thee. Now, this is kind of significant that we should recall the ancestry of this hymn, not in its particulars and not in the specific dates, but just in the reality that this has been used as a hymn of praise in the midst of God's people for a long time. And we share with them in expression of praise in this way. Now there's another side to this. And that is that in its original form, there were evidently a lot more verses. You know, when we deal with hymns in English, we kind of run out of willingness to proceed at about six verses or so. And so this hymn that we have in the Book of Praise is four verses long. And I'm going to read those verses over again just so they're in front of us. But then I'm also going to read some additional verses that were part of the original that Caswell also translated and just haven't found their way into at least our Book of Praise. So first the hymn, as we sung it this morning, when morning gilds the skies, my heart awaking cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. Alike at work and prayer, to Jesus I repair, may Jesus Christ be praised. To God the Word on high, the host of angels cry, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let mortals too upraise their voice in hymns of praise, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let earth's wide circle round in joyful notes resound, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let earth and sea and sky from height to depth reply, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this while life is mine, my canticle divine, may Jesus Christ be praised. Be this the eternal song, through all the ages on, may Jesus Christ be praised. The repetition in those verses is very powerful, isn't it? Each thought is connected to the idea that God's people are offering praise to Jesus Christ. And the repeated line, twice in every verse, underscores it for us. Now, there were more verses. I have no idea how many. But I have found four more that Caswell translated into English. They follow the same pattern, and they expand a little on the application of the sentiments of the hymn. So listen. Does sadness fill my mind? A solace here I find. May Jesus Christ be praised. Or fades my earthly bliss? My comfort still is this. May Jesus Christ be praised. Then this verse. While sleep her balm denies, my silent spirit sighs. May Jesus Christ be praised. When evil thoughts molest, with this I shield my breast. May Jesus Christ be praised. The night becomes as day when from the heart we say, may Jesus Christ be praised. The powers of darkness fear when this sweet chant they hear, may Jesus Christ be praised. In heaven's eternal bliss, the loveliest strain is this, may Jesus Christ be praised. Let earth and sea and sky from depth to height reply, may Jesus Christ be praised. As I said, there may be more verses. I don't know. These are the ones that Caswell rendered in English for our blessing and for our benefit. Now, I thought it good to end on a hymn that focused on such a central thought to our worship and praise. You see, what the hymn points out is what the scriptures teach us is that praise is to be the perpetual state of mind of the believer. Morning, noon, and night. In fact, morning, noon, and night are actually each referred to in the course of the hymn. The idea that, you know, you begin your day with the realization that you belong to the Lord, and your response is, may Jesus Christ be praised. In the busyness of your activities, you protect yourself from being overwhelmed by remembering that our praise belongs to Jesus Christ. In the quietness of the night, and sometimes in the midst of the loneliness of sleeplessness, as one of Caswell's alternative verses suggests, we find our peace in remembering that Jesus Christ is to be praised. And so it calls us, you see, to think about the lives we live and the ways in which we weave this practice, this pattern into our lives. this sense of the presence of the Lord with us, because praise is to be our perpetual state of mind. Whatever we do, ultimately we're drawn back to remember that this all fits into what God has planned and destined for his people. And when that realization comes to mind, our response then must be, of course, may Jesus Christ be praised. As Paul was writing to the Ephesians, he was pointing them to the fact that their calling, which had been undertaken and arranged by God long before they were ever conceived, drew them to the response of praising Jesus Christ. When Christ prayed for his disciples and followers, he prayed that they might be filled with praise. The other thing, or another thing, that this hymn places before us is that the idea that praise keeps our lives in balance. You know, we talk about balance in all sorts of places in our world. You know, you read articles that tell you you ought to eat a balanced diet and so forth. But there is the sense in which balance is critical to us spiritually. That we not, as the scriptures remind us, be pulled aside by every little issue that arises or every care and concern that touches our lives, but that we are grounded on God's grace in Jesus Christ. And whenever things tend to pull us away from that balance, then we need to center ourselves again in Christ. This balance helps us too from being too absorbed with ourselves, you know. Sometimes we get very absorbed with, well, either the little things of life, which in the moment seem kind of overwhelming, though even in those moments, if someone were to say, how important is this really, we might back up a bit. And other times when we allow ourselves to think, well, you did really well with that, you know, that was a good thing you did, this draws us back to assign our praise, not to ourselves, but to Jesus Christ and God's grace in him. And when there's anxiety and when there's danger and when there's uncertainty in the world around us, the one thing we know is that the Lord is the Lord. And that the Lord is gracious and has called us to be his. And so that remembrance soothes us. I like a couple of the additional verses and some of the lines from them. This one: when sleep her balm denies, my silent spirit sighs, may Jesus Christ be praised. Now maybe you're a person who goes to bed at night and sleeps like a baby and doesn't wake up till the alarm clock sounds in the morning. But most of us find occasions when sleep eludes us. And unfortunately, in such moments, we often are pulled not in the direction of praise initially, but in the direction of anxiety. We start working through things in our minds, things we ought to do, things we need to do, wondering if what we did was the right thing or the wise thing. And this just pulls us back to find our balance in praising Christ. And that reassurance in another of those alternate verses that Caswell translated, "The powers of darkness fear when this sweet chant they hear, may Jesus Christ be praised." So it is our steadying influence in life to keep this principal thought from this hymn in our minds. And you know, also, this hymn reminds us, it starts out as a morning hymn, in a sense, when morning gilds the skies, my heart awakening rock cries, may Jesus Christ be praised. But it ends on the note of this praise of Christ being our preparation for heaven. Be this the eternal song through all the ages on, may Jesus Christ be praised. Now, I had a conversation with someone once who thought that perhaps heaven would be very boring, because the scriptures talk about praising God. And I think they kind of pictured it as being in church 24/7. And they said, you know, is that something to look forward to exactly? And of course, if you acquire that sort of limited vision of heaven, then I might agree with them. But, of course, the scriptures portray being in the presence of God as in heaven as being a perpetual state of peace, praise, joy, love. Anxieties, cares are just smoothed away. And in the awesomeness of his presence, there is a natural expression of thanksgiving. Now, the scriptures don't spend a lot of words on talking about the details of what heaven is like. Oh, there are some descriptions, but always to the purpose of reminding us that in the presence of God, there is beauty and grace and peace and joy. And that the refrain, may Jesus Christ be praised, fits perfectly. So, if you've harbored the thought that maybe heaven is boring, let's have a conversation. For it is God's intention that in his presence we will enjoy the fullness of his presence, unobstructed and unobscured by all the things that detract us from focusing on him in this earthly time. And it's not that this earthly time is somehow wrong, for it is where God has placed us to live out this faith into which we have been called. But it's not the end of the story. The story ends in the fullness of his presence. Let me conclude by just taking us back to the ending of the Ephesians passage that Randy read for us this morning. And I read just the concluding two verses of that selection, Ephesians 1, verses 11 and 12. In Christ, we have also acquired an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. Now, Paul writes this to first generation followers of Jesus Christ. We're down the road a ways. But the sentiment remains the same, that we share in that same privilege. And though it might not be exactly true to say that we are the first to set our hope on Christ, we are part of that succession of generations of God's people in grace who have set their hope on Christ. And the desire and hope is that we might live for the praise of his glory. So ponder this. When you, this is one hymn that has a great advantage that whenever you sing it, you can hardly miss the main point of it because it's repeated to you twice in each verse. But may it persist in our thinking, not just when we're singing this hymn, but as we go about life, in what we do, in what we say, in how we think, and in our whole response to the world, may Jesus Christ be praised. Thanks be to God.